Please arise for the scripture reading.
Psalm 145, 17 through 19. The Lord is righteous in everything he does. He is filled with kindness. The Lord is close to all who call on him. Yes, to all who call on him in truth. He grants the desires of those who fear him. He hears their cries for help and rescues them. Deuteronomy 7:9. Understand, therefore, that the Lord your God is indeed God. He is the faithful God who keeps his covenant for 1,000 generations and lavishes his unfailing love on those who love him and obey his commands. So as I've been preparing to share my testimony with you, Bart asked several times in the last week how I was doing. So for one, I have notes. This is very rare for me. I could get up here and talk for 3 hours about a lot of things. But I need notes to really think through and stay on track with the ways that God has worked in my life and in our lives. And every time Bart would say, "How are you doing?" including this morning, I said, "I just want everyone to see Jesus." So I told this to Angie this morning as well. It feels a little uncomfortable to stand in front of people and share about yourself, because that's what a testimony is. But it's so much more than that, because it's actually God working through me and in my life. And the reasons I can stand here today is because of what God has done. So as I share and try my best to stay on track, Bart's going to give me a warning if I go too long.
Mine was really short. Hers might be really long. So I'm trying to average out. Yeah.
It averages out. Here's what I want you to hear, though. I would not be here today but for God. So here goes. I have no doubt that I was a difficult child to raise, perhaps sometimes a difficult wife to be married to. I spent my childhood on a farm in a small town in central Wisconsin with a fairly typical farm girl mindset, which I still have. I was independent and headstrong. I learned to drive a tractor when I was 4. And I understood that the workday starts before sunup and doesn't end until far after sundown. I'm the oldest of 3 kids, and I felt all of the typical firstborn responsibilities. I also felt a tremendous amount of guilt. My dad was a fairly functional alcoholic until I was 10, and functioning was something he was no longer able to do. And my mother has struggled with mental illness for her entire life. Although in the 70s and the 80s, when I was growing up, it wasn't recognized as something that was treatable. As a child, I determined that being a parent to me must be so awful that my parents had no other options than choosing alcohol and attempting suicide to get out of the responsibility of raising me. I also felt overwhelming pressure to keep all of these experiences, thoughts, and feelings as hidden as possible, because even a hint to the outside world that things were less than perfect at home would bring wrath upon us that was not worth the hope of reprieve. But God. Because despite my mother's illness, on Sundays, while my dad stayed home, my mom took all 3 of us kids to church. And here, I memorized books of the Bible, I volunteered in the church nursery, I was one of the main church pianists. I learned songs like Jesus Loves Me and What a Friend We Have in Jesus. And I come to the garden alone. I also learned about rules and judgment and that I was a perpetual disappointment to God. And there was a huge, huge disconnect between what I heard at church and what I experienced at home. During my junior year of high school, I moved out of my parents' home. I just couldn't take it anymore. Instead, I chose to stay. I've never said this out loud besides to Bart, but I'm going to say it. I chose to stay with an adult in town who let me pay rent by allowing them to use my body in ways God did not intend. And that was one of the worst decisions of my life. But God. Because it was also during my junior year of high school that someone in school invited me to go with their youth group to Minnesota for the weekend. I had nothing to lose at this point, and although I didn't know this girl well, I went. The weekend turned out to be a campus visit to Bethel College. As part of the scheduled weekend activities at Bethel, I completed an application. And a few weeks later, I learned that I had been accepted. I had the option to leave central Wisconsin behind, and maybe, just maybe, I could reinvent my life in a space where no one knew about my family, my incredibly poor decisions, and a future that I didn't otherwise believe was worth fighting for. In August of 1991, I moved to Bethel to begin my freshman year of college. By the end of my first week there, my understanding of God as angry, perpetually disappointed, and ultimately beyond reach had been challenged. And with time and consistency from a few professors, I began to believe what they were saying and what their lives were showing. I began to accept God's grace. I learned that not only did God love me, but he forgave me for all of those times I had turned my back on him. I began to see value and purpose in my life, and I also started to feel safe. My time at Bethel was nothing less than transformational. During the summers while I was in college, I was a nanny in New Jersey, and I became involved in a church that valued me right where I was, and continue to share with me that God had a plan for my future. By the summer after my junior year at Bethel, I had completely given my life to Christ. I was learning what it meant to have a relationship with him and to make him king of my life. In July of 1994, I was baptized at Hawthorne Gospel Church in New Jersey. After college, I married my best friend, and we began a family together. Our daughter Lauren was born in 1999 after an uneventful pregnancy and delivery. Well, it was uneventful for me. I'm not sure about Bart. I think it was fairly nerve-wracking for him, and he was like, what did we do? But I thought it was delightful. This is not in my script. But I do remember, and Bart does too, the first time I held this baby girl, and it took a few weeks before I could finally say the words, I love you, to her, because a girl and a mama and love is something I didn't understand. You know exactly what I'm talking about, don't you? But God, right? 18 months after Lauren was born, I was pregnant again, and at 14 weeks, so just over 3 months, I began bleeding. An emergency ultrasound revealed a torn placenta and a steady heartbeat. Yet, an OB held my hand, rubbed my arm, and told Bart and I that chances of my body being able to carry this baby, in her words, long enough to survive outside the womb, we're very minuscule. But God. Over the next 177 days, or just over 6 months, God made it possible for me to lay on my left side, sitting up twice a day for 15 minutes, and for that baby's heart to keep beating. Bart and I were loved on by his family, our neighbors, our church, and people whose names we never even knew to help cover our bills, keep us fed, take care of Lauren, and ensure that we never were forgotten in our struggle. After being put on complete bed rest on October 5th of 2000, Jake was born full term on March 30th, 2001. So, after several years of being home with the kids, I agreed to substitute teach in a classroom for middle school students who had been diagnosed with emotional and behavioral disorders. Think kids who get kicked out of class. I loved it. I did. I loved it. Many of these kiddos had suffered hurt, disappointment, and abandonment in their lives that most adults could not imagine. You see, but I could. They had little or no hope. And this was the first time I could look back and see what I had been through as a blessing. I could relate to their stories. To this day, I can still look students in the eye and they know I get it. I understand that. Life could be more than survival mode. There's hope. And I could love these kids like Jesus did. So once Jake started kindergarten, I accepted a full-time role as a special education teacher in the Mounds View School District. For the next 10 years, I had the privilege of working first at the same school as our own children, and then at the lowest socioeconomic and greatest at-risk school in our area. I had a front row seat to be able to share God's grace and mercy over and over and over again with students and their families. And I had no desire to leave this routine, but God. In the spring of 2015, a dear friend approached me about a position at Bethel that aligned with my gifts and talents. And although I could not imagine something different from the elementary setting I was in, I walked through the steps of applying and interviewing for a role as an instructional designer. And in ways that only God could orchestrate, I was offered a job at the same university that literally saved my life almost 2 decades earlier. In a leap of faith, I finished out the school year and began at Bethel that June. So working at Bethel felt like God tied a nice red bow on my life. I had moved on from my childhood and was settling into a role that allowed me to use my experience in education without the daily grind of 1,000 obnoxious students every day. Lauren and Jake were both college age by this point, and I could enjoy a schedule that aligned with their breaks from school. And I was set. Remember saying to Bart, I'm good. I'm like riding this out the next 15 years. I don't need to be promoted. I don't need to make more money. I'm just going to ride this out. I also say I could be in education because Bart worked in business. Because if anybody else here is in education, that's not where the money lies. But God has made it possible. So by the spring of 2019, I realized that if I was going to spend the rest of my career in a university setting, that I needed to at least attempt to earn my doctorate degree. It's really weird, you guys, when you're in that university setting and suddenly almost every person you talk to is referred to as doctor, and there's no medical people around. But I applied for a doctoral program, and I was accepted in October. The same month that Bart and I were able to buy our little slice of heaven up here in Hackensack. but God. Because in the same month that we bought our land, in the same month I began planning my next 5 years or so of doctoral studies, the final years of Lauren and Jake moving into college and adult life, Bart's mom was diagnosed with stage 4 kidney cancer. But God. Because within just a few more months, our world was thrust into COVID and all of the restrictions, including work from home, or in our case, work from the bunkhouse up north. Between 2020 and 2022, the landscape of higher education shifted significantly. Bart's mom began losing her fight with cancer, and the bunkhouse, which was really fun at first, was beginning to feel a bit tight. At least once a week, I would tell Bart that I wanted to drop out of the doctoral program I was in. I was not smart enough, I was not persistent enough, and frankly, I was exhausted. And then in the next breath, I would say, "Don't let me quit. No matter what I say, I'm too far in to quit now. Make me stick it out." But God, right? In April of 2023, Jake graduated from college in California. And he, Bart, and I began the long drive back to Minnesota. It's lots and lots of time on the road for me, which meant lots of time in prayer and reflection. I was rereading one of Lisa Turkhoust's first books, What Happens When Women Walk in Faith, as well as studying the book of Ruth in an online Bible study. Before we crossed the border from Iowa to Minnesota, I had once again surrendered to whatever was stirring in my heart. I didn't know what it was, but God. Because the very next week, while I was at Bethel, someone literally handed me her cell phone and said, "Hey, it's for you," to which I gave her a look that said, "Don't ever do this to me again." But it was someone from a leadership role at Legacy Christian Academy in Andover, and they were looking for a director of special education intervention services. Now, keep in mind, I'm not looking for something else. I'm at Bethel. God has tied this with a red bow, and I'm just riding it out. So I agreed to talk with this person, and I took this co-worker's phone outside and walked on a path around Bethel and talked with this person for 45 minutes on the phone about all the ways I could help their Christian school find someone for this role, because I had lots of connections at Bethel. I teach classes for students going into special education, and I could certainly connect them with someone. And then I agreed that I would go the next day to meet with the leadership team at Legacy to help them kind of sketch this job out a little bit more and what they needed. Because, see, God in my life had me in a public school, so I understood that. I had a master's in special education, so I understood that. And now there was this Christian school looking for somebody who knew how to do both, so I could give them some ideas. So I went, and I met with them. And I called Bart from the parking lot and said, "You won't believe it." I think I might have said, "Please don't kill me." But even though our life is great right now, I can work remotely. When I do have to go in, we are 3 miles from Bethel. I think I'm going to take a job in Andover, which is 30 minutes from our house. That's a lot of miles on the car. Oh, and by the way, I'd have to leave at 10 to 6 every morning. I would no longer be able to work from the bunkhouse. There's a lot in it that didn't make sense on paper. But you know what? That's how God works, because he was there. And I agreed, honestly, hesitantly, that I would go work at Legacy in this role to get it all set up for the next person for 1 year. That's what I promised Bart. We're only putting miles on the truck for 1 year. Then we'll scale it back again. But God. It was also during that year that we started attending church here. And we were welcomed with such open arms. And Deb, you would hug me when I would walk in the door in a way that said, I love you just as you are. And you didn't know that I was so messed up. You didn't know that I had made such poor decisions. And I think you probably will still even hug me today. And that meant the world to me because that's not what I was used to. Bart and I quickly realized that being here with all of you was exactly where God needs us to be. We're moving into this next stage of life, right? This second part, what do we do? What does retirement look like? Can we ever retire, right? And we are surrounded by amazing people who've made it more than 30 years in marriage who can help us when we have bumps along the way. While we've been here, I completed my doctorate. And what my plan had been to be at Legacy for 1 year, and then leave, has been, I hope this is my forever. I'm afraid to say that because I don't know what God has in store, but I know that it's good. I also know that because of God's moving in my life and getting me to this point where I'm at Legacy and finishing my doctorate, there has been a door opened over the last year, and we've prayed about it here a few times when I've had things like a trip to Dallas and things like that. Because over the last year, I've had the opportunity, because of those two things, to work with people all across the United States in Christian schools that are trying to figure out ways to welcome more students with disabilities, more students who struggle. 20% of people in the United States at a minimum have a disability, and our Christian schools serve about 2%. And that's not okay. And they think they're not equipped, and they think they don't have what it takes. And it is true that the money goes to the public school system. And yet, we serve such a great God that can make so many things possible that are greater than we could ever have imagined. So, God gave me a church foundation where I did memorize Bible verses and beautiful old hymns that are part of my soul. He opened the door for me to go to Bethel. It is the only school I applied to. I had no plans to go to college. To be quite honest, I actually thought about becoming a drug addict. And that sounds really terrible, but I thought it sounded kind of delightful at that age. Just go live with a bunch of people who don't really care what others think and feel good. That seemed like a decent option at the time. But God took me to Bethel, and he put people in my place, or in place for me to start believing just maybe there was some value that I could bring to this world. He provided our baby boy, who is a walking miracle. He's been with Bart and I through the ups and downs of 30 years of marriage, including the loss of his mom, who's the closest mother I've ever had. And he's still with us as we try to navigate what it's like to help Bart's dad grieve in a healthy way. As we watch our children, who are now young adults, make their own decisions about church and faith and how they want to raise their someday family. We live in such a broken and hurting world. But Jesus saves. He saved me. You guys, he saved me. He molds us, and he makes us into beautiful, amazing, and useful vessels. Even the deepest valleys are no match for his love and his forgiveness. 2 Corinthians 4:17 is one of my favorite verses, and it reminds us, for our light affliction which is but for a moment, is working for us a far more exceeding and eternal weight of glory. As the offering song was playing, I looked at Bart and said, "Don't forget this is one of my funeral songs." To which he said, "You'd better write that down." So with the rest of you in here, please remember, I want the last word at my funeral. I may not have breath in my lungs at that point, but the last word I want to leave on this earth is that God is good all the time. He is with us. His plans are so much greater than we could ever have imagined.
Thank you.